It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. And as all this NFL offseason stuff continues to swirl, I'm getting annoyed. I am getting more and more annoyed by the day. As a couple of months ago, I brought up to you, I think it is time that John Gruden gets another look as a head coach after everything that happened. And yes, I'm well aware of the things that were in the emails. I went back and I read them all. I understand what was said in private emails with John Gruden. And then he gets hired by Barstool, and then you start seeing his personality again. And then when his name gets attached to the Raiders job, just in passing, you know, people putting lists out there, the reaction to that, including some national media members, I'll play you one of those coming up in a little bit, is how could you possibly have John Gruden on a list to be your head coach? What a disgrace that would be. Like, second chances don't exist. Meanwhile, we've got players in the league, and most players are great, but there's been a lot of players who get caught up in actual crimes that get second chances right away. Rashee Rice leaves the scene of an accident and is back playing right there. You get DUIs with Jordan Addison, who's on my team. He has a DUI in the offseason. Bang, he doesn't miss a single game. But this guy's private emails where he said some stuff that he regrets and he apologized for is going to blackball him from the NFL forever? It's insane. And you want to tell me this guy's a straight-up bad guy because of that?
How about you check every one of your private emails, every one of your text threads before you throw stones at him? Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. Man, you're shot out of a cannon today.
It pissed me off.
I know it does. It pisses me off, too, because I think we both like John Gruden. We both see him being, rehabilitated, but at least we see his personality on Barstool as you're wearing the Barstool golf sweatshirt.
Yeah.
I like it, but and he does a great job on Barstool, and that guy should be coaching somewhere. That's all I can say. And, you know, there are, you know, these stories of teams that are doing homework on him. But I also think that, you know, maybe there is something that we don't see or we don't know that is leading to teams to be really reticent about giving him an opportunity. And maybe some of that stuff comes from the commissioner's office. I can't imagine that.
See, I can. I really can, because he went after, in those emails, Roger Goodell worse than just about anybody. And he called him an anti-football P-word, and that embarrassed Roger Goodell.
I mean, so think of your friend's text threads.
I'm on your page. Yes. I just think that Roger Goodell got offended by that. And then he's like, you can't hire this guy. And, you know, he works with the owners closely. He probably tells the owner, we can't bring him back. And then he probably says something like this. We got, you know, end racism on the back of our helmets. What is it going to say about us when we bring John Gruden back? And I'll tell you what it says, is that he said he learned from that, and that was a teaching moment for him. So instead of just blackballing him and kicking him out of the league for the rest of time, let's make this a good story and say, hey, you know, he used some language he probably shouldn't have used. It was a little bit rough in his private emails. Now he's learned that. He's not going to do that, and that's what we need to do to push this conversation forward.
And I would think that if he did get a job and his first press conference, he would probably stand up and say, I want to reiterate my apologies to anybody who I may have offended at that time when those emails were made public. And I'm sorry about that. And those emails were made public. Why were they made public? Were they made public to basically camouflage the Dan Snyder nonsense that was going on?
Well, that's what Rich Gannon said on our show when we had him on.
That's exactly right.
He implied that.
He did imply that. And I think there are a lot of people that really are in John Gruden's corner. I just think that there's going to be a loud group of a small number of people that are just going to be virtue signaling and standing on their high horse and basically saying that, you know, he doesn't deserve another chance. But hey, look, I would just say, for me anyway, you know, covering him all these years, seeing him at Monday night games when he was working for ESPN, I mean, he loves the NFL. Now, I don't know. Yeah, I know he's in an open lawsuit with the NFL. I don't think he...
And by the way, so is Brian Flores. So, like, this, everybody says, well, there's no way that anybody would hire him because he's got this lawsuit. Brian Flores' lawsuit is still active as well, and he's getting interviews all over the place. So you can't use that as a thing when people fight back to me. This is an ongoing lawsuit. Okay.
All right,
it's not the only one.
I know. I'm not saying that could be a little bit muddy, the whole thing. But I, you know, my feeling is that this guy loves the NFL, loves the players in the NFL. I think a lot of players that played for him, from all indications, liked playing for him. I mean, he is a caricature of himself. You know, he brings that comedian in to do an actual imitation of him in front of his team.
Frank Caliendo.
Frank Caliendo. That was one of the funniest things I have ever seen.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in the room in there. And he's, you know, Caliendo is just, you know, making fun of him. And most of the guys in that room loved it. And, you know, I don't know what else you could do in this world if you can't say, you know, he didn't kill anybody. It wasn't a DWI. He didn't shoot anybody. He didn't beat up his wife. Like, there are so many other things that I could think of that I would say, okay, if he did that, then there's no way. But in this situation, you know, the releasing of the emails, wherever they came from, whether they came from the NFL, whether they came from Bruce Allen, whether they came from Daniel Snyder's side, I mean, you know, during discovery and all of this crap that was going on with Daniel Snyder. You know, Daniel Snyder walked away with, what, $6 or $7 billion?
Oh, yeah. Right, of course, in selling the team. So it's not like, yeah, his reputation might have been shot, but he's probably living the life right now and not even thinking about that. You know, and there was some stuff there with Michael Sam that John Gruden talked about. Like, okay, so what's worse? John Gruden saying that Roger Goodell pressured Jeff Fisher into drafting Michael Sam, or Tony Dungy saying that he wouldn't have drafted him because he's gay and Tony Dungy thinks every gay person is going to burn in hell for eternity. Which one of those is worse? Honestly. I mean, I'll tell you, the Tony Dungy one is worse. Now, I'm going to play you the thing that really set me off yesterday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this is...
You're in sports talk like heaven or hell, whatever you want to call it, and you're listening to people.
Well, someone on X sent me this clip.
Oh, okay.
So it's the Dan Le Batard show. He first starts talking about the Jets and Rex Ryan and then gets into John Gruden. So take a listen to Dan Le Batard.
Is amazing for a number of reasons, not the least of which is they don't need to interview him. They know how terrible he is.
No.
Wait a second. We went to back-to-back AFC Championship games.
But they know what he is.
Let's get a damn snack.
All right, they know how great he is. Fine, whatever. The interview's unnecessary. Least offensive of these two interviews. John Gruden, his name being mentioned near anything should cause shame eternally for everyone involved with that league. Ooh. The idea that that can be recycled into something after what that has done publicly, just because he smirks and is charming and we're in a different America than we were when he was the highest paid face and voice at ESPN on behalf of football enthusiasm. I understand that Barstool resuscitated him. I don't blame second chances. I think everybody should actually get second chances. But that guy with those crimes going right to the top of the food chain again for the top of the jobs, because the way to do all this stuff, whether it's Lewis Riddick over here or whether it's Rex Ryan, is just be on television. One of these football teams will think that's leadership enough. Just be around talking about...
That's enough. That's where he goes on with the TV stuff. But crimes and eternal shame for everybody involved? Like, what are we talking about here? I mean, I have never seen a reaction like that when a player got a second chance. Like, there was, you know, people with Michael Vick were very upset about that. Eternal shame?
And by the way, when we were on the air and Michael Vick was in jail, and he was rehabilitated by Tony Dungy, by the way.
Yeah,
right. Tony Dungy went out there to interview him. And just so you know, I respect Tony Dungy immensely as a football coach and as a man, and I'm not afraid to say that he stands up for what he believes in, and that's fine, just like Dan Le Batard stands up for what he believes in. I'm not going to get in here and get in all emotional and personally involved with their takes on things. That's their right. That's how they want to carry themselves.
Well, the reason I brought it up is
because you used the word crimes.
Well, yeah.
I mean, to me, that's excessive, that's ridiculous, and that is inaccurate. But in his mind, it is accurate. In his mind, the way he looks at things, he feels like what John Gruden did within those emails was, you know, he can't come back from that on the football field. I just, you know, my thing about all of this is that everybody sits and we do the same thing here. We opine about everything and everybody and their situations. We happen to be supporters of John Gruden. We happen to be, and we both believe that whatever has happened to him, you know, probably happened to him because of camouflaging something of someone else's issues, which I believe were Dan Snyder's.
Yeah, I mean, and I fully believe what Rich Gannon told us when he said that John Gruden and Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder, you know, were, and especially Dan Snyder and whatever PR group and machine was behind him, is like, well, let's throw these Gruden emails out there and it'll take the heat off us. Now, it ultimately didn't work because Dan Snyder got thrown out of the league, essentially.
He was going to get thrown out of the league anyway, but I think it almost was like, let's burn down the house.
Yeah, I mean, and the owners, I bet you there's a lot of owners that would probably, you know, it privately, if you're talking to them, would say, yeah, I don't have a problem with this, and I would like to have John Gruden be my head coach, but I don't want to deal with the PR, and I don't want to deal with Roger Goodell being pissed off with me, and I'd rather go with Bobby Slowick and give that a shot as deal with the heartburn that and the agita that bringing John Gruden in is going to give me and my organization, and then with sponsors and this and that. It's just they're gutless is what they are, and it's absolutely gutless, and it's to me, it's just, I would... Anybody who's sitting there saying John Gruden shouldn't get a chance, just think about if someone had access to everything that you sent in a text or an email or recorded you in your private conversations. You're telling me that you've never said anything off color? You're telling me that you've never said a word that could get you in trouble if you said it publicly? It's not like John Gruden stood behind a podium and was spewing out some of this stuff. It was a private email. They're stupid for putting it in an email. There's no two ways about it. But I actually think he has genuine remorse. And the fact that he gets blackballed and so many other people who committed actual crimes are back on the football field because of their talent, but he can't get on the football field. And you got national pundits saying that his crimes is what was said by Dan Le Batard are going to keep him out of league is just bullcrap. And it just, it infuriates me. It absolutely infuriates me.
I could definitely see that. I don't know what to tell you. It just doesn't, unless those teams that were supposedly doing homework on John Gruden come back and find out that their homework is exactly what they're afraid of, and that's the Dan Le Batard take on this as opposed to our take on this. You know what I mean? That's basically the schism that some team may find themselves in, and a rock between a rock and a hard place. And you're going to have to be able to withstand maybe the initial foray into it. But I would think that if John ever got a job, he would be able to kind of put the flames out, if you will, in his opening press conference. Let me get this out of the way first. You know, I apologized. I've apologized numerous times. And I will apologize one more time right here to tell you that I learned a valuable lesson. And not very many people have an opportunity to do what I'm doing right now, and that's coach a football team and be a better person, be a better coach, and be a better understand better the relationship between the league, the teams, and the players. That would be the way that he should go about it.
Yeah, you know what? Also, I would do if I were John Gruden, I really wanted to get back in. I would get some of the players that I coached, you know, of all backgrounds, every single one of them, and I can guarantee you that 90% or more of those players love John Gruden, no matter who they were, where they came from, skin color, ethnicity, whatever it may be, they love John Gruden. And oh, by the way, like you think that John Gruden's the only NFL head coach or assistant coach in the NFL that's crass? Like, go to one of these practices.
Do you remember when Vic Fangio was the head coach of the Denver Broncos?
Yeah,
and they asked him a question. And his answer, I forget what the question was, but his answer was, you know, the NFL is a meritocracy. Do you remember that?
I do.
Do you remember the incredible blowback that he took?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm like, what? It is a meritocracy, at least on the field it is. Sure. I forget what his actual, that response was to what question that was he was asked. But in the eyes of most coaches and all players, it is a meritocracy. Now, if you're a first-round draft pick and you're a hot top five pick, they'll maybe give you 3 years to get your crap together and get it straight. And maybe if you're not and you're an undrafted free agent, they'll just chuck you out the door right out of the gate because there's no PR attached to you. But at the end of the day, the best player is going to be on the field. And that is a meritocracy. You've earned it. And, you know, and John Gruden, I was looking back at some of his Hard Knock stuff. You know, that's exactly what he was telling his players. Like, you have to rip the heart out of somebody in this building or in this room or on this field. You got to go get your job and you got to break somebody else's heart That's a meritocracy. That's going after something and earning the goddamn thing. And, you know, that's the beauty of, I think, of sports, that you may get yourself in the door because of something you did somewhere else when you were younger. But once you get in there, this is a man's world. This is about, you know, getting your job, holding on to your job, and impressing the people that are giving you that job. To me, that is a meritocracy. So whatever Vic Fangio, the question he was answering, that answer was 100% accurate. But then he had to come back and, like, say he was sorry about something.
Yeah, of course, because everybody, and I'm sure that time, everybody was super sensitive about everything that was said. And, you know, at John Gruden at this point is not even going to get that opportunity to prove himself again. I mean, and by the way, isn't getting fired, having those things out there, not being able to get a job for years now? I mean, we're sitting here in 2025. What was that? It was 2021 that happened?
I think so, yeah.
So is that not punishment enough? Seriously. For those who want to continue to roast this guy, he lost his job, he was publicly skewered for months, and has not been able to coach for 4 years, or going on 4 years.
Yeah, I think, like I told you, I think he may have been offered an opportunity to coach, but he didn't want to take it.
As a coordinator,
I do believe that that was offered, but I can't. You know, it's hard to confirm that, but it's. I like I said, teams have done their due diligence on him. I mean, like, he's the perfect candidate for the Jets. We both believe, and because they need somebody that's going to have a top end personality. Now, the other interesting aspect to this, let's say there is an NFL team that hires him, and let's say there's three guys on a team that just can't handle what was out there in the public domain and don't trust him and don't believe in him, and they don't want to play for him. Then what? Then what do you do?
See, I don't think that is the case at all. I really don't. It's a hypothetical that I'll answer for you. And at that point, I think that John Gruden would be able to sit down and have a conversation with those guys and convince them otherwise, because he's got that type of personality. And I know,
you know, it's amazing when the players he drafted out in Vegas. I mean, he gave guys a million second chances.
Oh yeah. Including Antonio Brown.
Yeah, because you wanted to win. He knew they were good football players. He knew that when they were on the field, they were at their very best. Off the field, you'd have to hold your breath. But on the field, there was no questioning some of the people that he and Mike Mayock drafted out there. Some guys had questionable backgrounds, and he took chances on guys. He gave guys, you know, he knows that, you know, certain people, I would be one of those people, by the way, that when you fall into the NFL, man, You come from nothing. You got to go get it, and you got to hold on to it. And, you know, coaches gave me a chance. My skin color didn't matter. All that mattered was whether or not I could play. And I see a lot of the players that they draft, or they did draft, and that, you know, were in similar situations like I was. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. He just wants to win football games. He wants to coach players. He wants to help players grow into men. I'm not saying he's perfect. Nobody is. But, you know, I agree with you. His time away from the game right now should have been penalty enough.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Pion Idol Chris here, Lopresti. We learned about his cyst on the top of his tailbone yesterday, and the Pion Idol Center of New Jersey, and he's doing reads for
Dr. Samuel Rafailov.
There you
Look
go.
Look at that. Now you're
nice.
On. Now you're on.
Yeah, in hindsight, when I took the call from Al and he did inform me what you guys wanted to discuss, I should have had everything in front of me. So that was my error, my mistake, rookie mistake, bad job.
Hand up accountability.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm not
like
going to say. I'm not.
If you say it, nope. I swear to God, I'm going to kick you right in your.
Not going to say it.
I don't ask.
Just taking accountability. You know, first timer, and I'll admit I froze on the air. I panicked.
It's okay. Hey, we got it figured out. We gave the website out.
No, the website is pilofix.com. Pilofix.com. And they've got all the information. You can educate yourself if you've got an issue. Again, mine was like, I'm not going to say worst case scenario, but clearly it had gone on a while where the thing grew, But there's a lot of different ways you can get taken care of.
Well, so we have a photo of you getting your surgery. I don't know if you saw that.
You know, somebody.
We do have a photo of you.
I mean, CBS Sports Network wants to throw up the photo.
Throw it up there. We can get a good look at it.
There it is. Yes, as you were growing a tail there.
Yes.
I'll tell you, you guys have quite the reach. So my childhood friend from when I lived in Virginia, D.C. suburb, we were best buds from age 4 to 11. We keep in touch, but I don't see him very often. He actually works at UNC, at Chapel Hill down there now. So Bill Belichick country.
Okay.
I get a text from him yesterday. Happy New Year, pal. So what's this I hear about a tail? So you guys have got quite the reach.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Were you listening afterwards when Al took the call? You were listening?
I was not listening live, but I did go back on the app, and I did
right,
hear
so,
it.
one more time there, Fleeks. Yeah, so that was the sound that Boomer made when Al was detailing a call where a caller called up and said his daughter had a pionidal cyst, and when they sliced it open, there were bones in there.
Right, and I said to Al this morning, all the things you guys discussed about this yesterday, I know you were looking it up, you saw pictures.
Oh, we did
deep
reading
research.
About
pus-filled sacks, yet yes. Bones is what ultimately did.
Sacks,
that's what did you in. The right. Mention of bones got
well,
you.
Well, the ingredients that seem to be in these things. And at that time, I was drinking a smoothie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that was going down nice and smooth for you. Huh?
I basically gagged. I don't know what to tell you. I laughed and gagged at the same time, which I've never, ever done before in my life.
So mine did not have bones. And you said yesterday, can we see your scar? I came up with something to put on CBS Sports Network because no one wants to see it.
Nobody wants
but
to see
scar,
it.
But the scar is, it's 20 years now. It's there, but it's nice and tidy.
Right.
But I remembered, so you got a picture after this is done, when I had this procedure performed, I couldn't see it because of where it was,
yeah.
So my mother, who was taking, I asked her to take a photograph because I wanted to see what the aftermath was. So I went back and I found said photograph of the stitches and the area.
Yeah.
Okay. So there
top
you
of
go.
Your crack right there.
Yeah. And it actually, it does extend at the top, but it did go in a little bit. You can see the top of the stitch. I mean,
you had bones in it.
It's not a great area.
It really was the
wow.
It was. I think that the Al delivery of it was really what bones. Made you the bones in it.
It had bones in it. I was like, all right,
it was tremendous.
So it doesn't have to get to that point. You go to pilofix.com.
This must be a big problem if there's a treatment facility dedicated just for this particular cyst.
It is, and I will tell you guys that having spoken to you about it on the air yesterday. And then tweeted out the information. A lot of people coming back with their stories that have dealt with it. It is a more male issue, and usually in the 15 to 25 range. Not that it can't happen outside of that, but that's where it's kind of more common. So, maybe for our listeners, if you've got a son who's maybe dealing with it, you want
a son who's growing a tail.
You want to nip that in the bud before it gets out of control. And again,
you want to nip it in the butter, right?
That's right.
I'll tell you. Your ingredients was just hair and pus, right?
Yeah, as far as I could tell, I didn't see any bones in mine.
Yeah.
But it was rather large.
I mean, Gio was saying yesterday that some people had teeth in
there. Yeah, the tooth in there.
Come on.
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
How is it possible to have bones in it?
Well, I mean, you got to remember where it is. It's the tailbone. It's the base of the spine.
Yeah, but then there was a theory that that could have been your twin brother.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Right,
yeah.
So there's how the tooth and the bones end up in there.
Well, you hear long-lost twin. Little did you know, it's resting there at the base of your tailbone.
It's a good place to end this. let's get an update there, CeeLo.
All right. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So the Knicks were looking to get back into the win column after three straight losses. They get Karl Anthony Towns back in the lineup, plus their own personal doormat was in town for a visit to the Garden, and that is the now 8-29 Toronto Raptors.
Towns picks up his third steal of the night. Ananobi posting quickly. He toasts quickly. 23 points for Ananobi against his former team.
Tyler Murray on MSG as some defense turns to offense. That was part of a 15-0 Knicks run in the fourth quarter on their way to an easy 122-98 victory over Toronto. So Cat comes back with 27 points, 13 rebounds. Ananobi, you just heard with the dunk there, also had 27. Josh Hart, 21 points, 11 rebounds. Towns ends up 9-14 from the field. He was 3-3 from deep in 34 minutes of action after missing Monday's loss against Orlando due to that knee issue. And did all of it with Patrick Ewing sitting courtside last night.
I mean, that's the legend. That's the man who built Mecca. So for me to grow up and watch him play and for him to now watch me play in the Mecca is a humbling experience.
All right, now, he did not build Mecca. Who built Mecca was Willis Reed and Walt Frazier, Dick Barnett, Dave DeBuscher. You know, those are the guys that built Mecca. So everybody calm down.
A little before Cat's time.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
He's not educated on that quite enough.
I mean, all you have to do is look up in a rafter.
That's fair.
And there's a number 10 and a number 19 up there. Mm-hmm. And you look at and a Dick Barnett, by
Who
the way.
Who are these people?
That's right. You say, that's where it was built. That was the foundation of that franchise.
Educate yourself,
actual champion, Cat. Actual championship teams.
Yeah, I don't want to get all over Cat because I love the fact that he's playing the way he's playing and they're beating the bad teams and everything else. I mean, the game of the night last night was Cleveland.
And,
oh, you will.
Okay. We'll get to that. Let me give you one Tom Thibodeau first. Wasn't too concerned about their little three-game skid. It happens. We took care of it.
Over the course of the season, sometimes you're gonna stumble and you got to get back up and you got to refocus. And, you know, we went through a rough stretch on the road.
But they bounced back here against, like we said, a not-so-great team. You did have Emmanuel Quickly and R.J. Barrett in there last night. It's another lost season for the Raptors.
It's going to come down to May and June.
Right.
We all know that.
Yes.
All this stuff is just fodder right now. They stay healthy, and then when we get to the playoffs, that's when it all kicks in.
But we do look forward to these marquee matchups when they come along, which they'll have tomorrow night against the Thunder. And you did have last night in Cleveland as OKC visited the Cavaliers. It ends up a 129-122 win for Cleveland, as that was the top two teams record-wise in the NBA meeting there. Cleveland now 32-4, and they overcame an off-shooting night from Donovan Mitchell. He was 3 of 16 from the field for only 11 points, but they had 7 guys finish in double figures, including 25 and 11 rebounds from Jared Allen. Kenny Atkinson's got his guys playing some great basketball.
The players said in the locker room, they said, we don't win this game last year. And that says a lot about our, you know, growth and their maturity and kind of where they are and their evolution as a team.
And where they're at is, like I said, 32-4, OKC 30-6. Those are the only two teams in the league who have already hit the 30-win plateau. The Nets certainly have not. They took another loss last night, 113-98 against the Pistons at Barclays Center. Balanced scoring attack for Detroit, led by 23 from Malik Beasley. So you figure the Pistons last year had that dreadful losing streak. They won 14 games for the season. They started this year 0-4, but now they've ripped off 5 in a row. They're above 500 for the first time.
There you go.
At 19-18, so good for them. Let's get to some football stuff here. The latest name added to the list of interview requests for the Jets in their search for a new head coach. Chiefs defensive coordinator. By the way, I thought, didn't we settle? So it's spelled with an O at the end.
But Spagnuolo.
It, yeah, but I thought it was pronounced Spagnola. Maybe that's made up.
No? Just call them Spags.
Yeah, well, Spags.
Yeah. All right. Well, in any event, they're going
to get some interviews.
Yeah, you. Yep, point. Absolutely.
So you covered John Gruden. The other name that I said to Al this morning, who does have an interview elsewhere, Pete Carroll, not on the Jets list of all the guys that they're talking to. At least have a conversation.
I don't see him coming back here. I mean, maybe he would want to if it were the only job that were open, but I just don't see them bringing him back here.
Fair.
Even though this ownership group did not have anything to do with Pete.
Yeah. And just look at the list of people that they actually are talking to for him to be left off. Gruden has its own reasons, which you've covered. Seems a little odd, but he does have the Bears interview, so maybe they feel like...
Well, it's not like, I mean, the Bears interview, that's the only interview he's got with all the openings, right?
Pete Carroll,
so it's not
far.
Like just the Jets that are not talking to him.
Yeah.
I feel like Ben Johnson's going to Jacksonville. But again, if he goes to Jacksonville, that means he has to be okay working with Trent Baalke.
Yeah, who remains.
Because many of us are saying, you know, you would think that Ben Johnson would be so coveted that he would be able to come in and, you know, move and shake if he wanted to.
Bring his own guy from Detroit.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That doesn't look like that's going to happen.
And there's a lot of assistants that are hot names out there that could very easily slide in somewhere else, but there's only one other general manager opening other than the Jets, and that is the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know if Ben Johnson's going there.
Well, they have the first overall pick, and the other thing, too, is that if I were Chicago, I would really, really, really consider him, and the reason for that is just because he knows his own offense, and they're going to play the Lions twice a year. So he can basically coach up his defensive coordinator to say, this is what they're going to try to do. This is where the, you know, where the soft spots are, and you can try to take advantage of it. I know Jared Goff. This is how you do it. This is how you got to go after him. I mean, that would be like a double hit for the Bears.
Oh, without a doubt. And I wonder if he loves the Lions so much that he wouldn't do that. Because remember, he's a different type of guy. Hold on.
Yeah, I know. He's like a Mike McDaniel guy.
No. But not only that, but the fact that he said that he had unfinished business with the Lions, and that's why he didn't want to take a job last year. I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, you know what? I cannot go to the Bears. The Lions and Dan Campbell have given me everything. I want to go to the Jaguars instead.
That makes more sense. But, man, the Bears are a legacy franchise, man. To be standing on, see, I would love to have seen Bill Belichick standing on that sideline, Mike Vrabel standing on that sideline, Brian Flores standing on that side. There are certain guys that have the look of standing there as the Bears head coach, and they've unfortunately haven't found that guy in a while.
Well, you won't see Bill Belichick standing on the Raiders sideline, apparently, even though reports say Tom Brady did reach out to him to gauge his interest now that the Raider job is open. Of course, he's got this buyout situation with North Carolina, and to this point, sounds like he has no interest in quickly departing Chapel Hill. He's out there doing recruiting with his son and all that good stuff.
I don't know why that... I don't know who's representing Bill Belichick, but you would have thought that they would have called, like, around just to see whether or not anybody would have any interest or should.
Well, apparently they did with the Jets.
And nobody said, and people said no.
I assume that's why he, in part, took the North Carolina job, because he got the sense that he wasn't going to have anyone that wanted to hire him NFL-wise. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the timing-wise just didn't work out, but...
And he's got that weird buyout situation going on, too, which is...
$10 million through June 1st, right?
Yeah.
And then it goes down to one.
Goes down to $1 million.
Mm.
But no one's going to wait until June 1st to hire their coach.
Right, exactly.
So... should be protected.
Odd the way it's written in there. We'll get to some other football stuff next hour. Hockey-wise, you got the Rangers and the Devils tonight at the Garden. The Islanders are in Las Vegas to skate against the Golden Knights at 10 o'clock. College hoops last night. UConn, a loser at Villanova, 68-66. Already the fourth loss of the season for the two-time defending champion Huskies. I bring that up because they only lost three games all of last season, but that was their first in Big East play, and Seton Hall did beat DePaul in overtime, 85-80.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Talking about John Gruden this morning and how I think he is as good of a candidate as there is out there right now, especially when you're talking about all the guys that the Jets are interviewing, and you got a bunch of owners in the NFL that are scared to bring him in, or there's some sort of collusion going on where Roger Goodell says you can no way interview this guy. He's got a lawsuit, the stuff he said about me. But yeah, Brian Flores is getting interviews all over the place, and he also has an open lawsuit against the NFL as well. So that shouldn't have anything to do with it. He hasn't coached in years. He got humiliated. He got fired. All of those things. And I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he said some dumb stuff and some potentially hurtful stuff to people in private emails.
Let me just tell you something. The NFL is filled with just lunatics.
Yeah.
All right? And in order to basically lead lunatics, you got to be a lunatic yourself in different ways. I mean, there's different ways of being a lunatic. And you have to be an all-in guy. And the one thing I could say about John Gruden, he's an all-in guy. Like, he is, there is nothing he loves more than being in front of a group of 65, 70 guys, talking guy smack, talking like, you know, like, this is the way it's going to be. If you don't want to be here, you're going to lose your job. I mean, that's him. And, you know, you and I... And you are at a lesser degree than I, but we were in football locker rooms. We know what they're like. You know, I'd often say that, like, Patrick Mahomes has said this. I said this when I was playing, because there was some strife when I was playing too. But, like, if everybody was like a football locker room, the world would be a better place. Because everybody just takes things, just goes after you about whatever your shortcomings are.
Yeah.
They bust your chops about it. You accept it. And then you bust their chops back about something else.
Absolutely. I mean, and I went to a very diverse high school. There was a lineman that I played with named Christopher Wallace, who called me Ghost because I was the whitest guy he ever saw.
There were nicknames for me,
of course. I mean, it's just, and we, everybody got along. And never once in my life did I think that we weren't all the same when we put that uniform on and a helmet on and we were in the locker room and on the buses to the road games. I mean, there was no, it's not like, you know, there was the white kids at the front of the bus, the black kids at the back of the bus, or vice versa. None of that happened. We were all together. We were 100% a team.
You all had a common goal,
shoulder to shoulder, and exactly. I mean, and that is the stuff that game can teach you, and it taught me in the short amount of time that I played it in middle school, and then the 4 years of high school, the lessons that were learned there were
invaluable and have stuck with me for a very, very long time. All right, let's go to Paul in Florida. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, Boomer. Just a throwback. I was at the Citrus Bowl when you played against Tennessee.
And I got my last college football game, and I separated my left throwing shoulder in a game that didn't mean anything.
I wasn't going to bring it up. But anyway, listen, this Levitard accusation, how is that short of absolutely slanderous? I mean, you're a public figure to begin with. He's accusing Gruden of crimes. How can he do that without that being categorized as slander?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I had a big problem with him seeing crimes. I don't think like slander and libel is something that's going to be approached by Gruden or his lawyers or anything like that. I think anybody with a brain hears Dan Levitard's.
Yeah, but that's why you would go after somebody, because you're using the wrong words to describe what he is going through.
Yeah, he goes, those crimes. Yeah, it is true, because if you think about it, like if you're someone who is not educated on what happened, you don't know the details, and you hear someone like Dan Levitard's been doing this for a very long time say the crimes that he committed, you're thinking that he was arrested. You're thinking that he was prosecuted. If you don't know what it is. So, I mean, I could sit here and go on and on about, you know, you can't condone this, you said some bad things. We all know that already. We all know that those words and those things that he said are not things that you're supposed to say.
And by the way, he did give a very, what I felt like was a heartfelt apology when he stepped down.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that as the days go by and the years go by, listen, I feel like even when I'm watching people on television that I'm a pretty decent judge of character. And if you watch any of the John Gruden Barstool stuff, any of it, just go and do yourself a favor if you're on the other side of Gruden. Watch the foreplay with him playing golf with Frankie and Trent and Jersey Jerry. Or watch any of the trash line or something, where at the end of the games, it's Portnoy, this guy Stephen Che, and Gruden, and they're taking phone calls from fans of their fan base, and they're screaming, and Gruden's trying to talk to them through. Just watch any of that stuff and tell me that guy. Tell me he's a bad guy who shouldn't be allowed back in the NFL. I dare you to try to find that part of it and that thing. And if you're saying that, you're just lying and you're just sticking, making those words that he said that were bad words every part of who he is, which is just nonsense. You know, it's a part of his life. It's a small, bad piece of his life. That's not who he is. So, and ask all the players. Like, I would love for some of his former players to come out and support him. I really would. And I don't know if they're afraid to or not, or feel like they don't have to.
What would they be afraid about? I mean, either you liked playing for him or you didn't.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, oh, you're defending a racist, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you about if a new team hires him. The other thing, too, that we are not privy to is there anything else internally that we don't know about?
True. That's right.
You know, we're not privy to all of the information and how.
But I can't assume that, you know.
I know. We're not. We're assuming that all of it's out there. He apologized. There's an open legal question that is going on still to this day. And, you know, I don't know if there is anything else. I haven't been told there is anything else. You know, the people that listen to us every single day here on the radio station, when we do say something that may be inaccurate about something, most people reach out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And say, hey, there's more to this story.
Yes.
And we have not heard any of that. And if there is, and those facts come out, then, of course, you change your opinion. But based on the facts that we have and the things that we have seen, he's been punished long enough, and he should get an opportunity, and the owner should not be afraid of it.